You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. I'm Dan Keller, and this show first aired May 1st, 2025. While the neighborhood surrounding Kitchener's newest library branch is still under construction, inside the building, a 15-meter-long wall sculpture has been installed and unveiled, which, according to a city press release, quote, explores and honors connection to the earth and to each other, but also the traditional sharing of knowledge within Indigenous communities, unquote. The artwork, a collaboration with Anishinaabe Indigenous artists Isaac Murdoch and Niall Johnston, is named Wintertime Stories and is a sprawling mixed-medium sculpture made with acrylic and wood, and features pictographs and iconography. The piece is, quote, rooted in the Anishinaabek storytelling tradition intersecting cultures and life in the northern woodlands, unquote. Kitchener Mayor Barry Verbanovic said of the work, quote, I think it can remind us of all the important things that connect us, whether that's the earth we all share, the people we share our life with, or the community that brings us together. I can't wait to see our community discover and explore this piece for themselves, unquote. The Southwest branch of the KPL opened in March at the edge of the city and is the first public service in the new suburb. The building process included consultation on design with Six Nations and Mississaugas of the Credit, and is the first municipal building in Waterloo Region and one of the first libraries in Canada to achieve the Zero Carbon Building designation from the Canada Green Building Council. In 2019, a longhouse community was unearthed nearby during construction of a road, leading to over 35,000 artifacts being recovered by archaeologists. A reminder to those in Waterloo Region about the original inhabitants of this land. This show features interviews with Wintertime Stories co-creator Niall Johnston, who is an artist from the Chippewas of Nawash, unceded First Nation, and who now resides in Toronto, and Eric Rumble, the coordinator of arts and creative services at the City of Kitchener, who helped facilitate the selection process for the artwork. We start with Niall Johnston.
My name is Niall Johnston. I also go by Mushkose Migize, which is Anishinaabe Mo'in for Whistling Eagle. And I am a visual artist, a multidisciplinary artist. Work not only with paints, mural artists, and also with different types of installations. And I'm also, I guess, what's known in my community as a helper, as a traditional helper. So I really help out with different types of ceremonies and more land-based learning with various youth from around my community.
Can you tell me about the work, Wintertime Stories, that you created with Isaac Murdoch for Kitchener's new Southwest Library branch? Like, what does the piece mean to you, and how does it reflect your style and philosophy?
That installation, it encompasses so much. We say during those winter months is basically the time when that intergenerational knowledge is shared. That's when all of these stories of creation and the environment around us are shared with one another and for the younger generations. Why in the winter? There's many reasons. You know, winter time was a time of slowing down. It was a time of reflection. During the spring, summer, and fall months, you were busy preparing for, you know, not only winter, but you were just busy helping with the community and all of the various needs. So that wintertime is a very special time. And also we say that that star blanket, that's the sky. The stars are actually lower to the ground. And those stars, I guess we call them constellations, our stories are in there. A constellation, I guess, in Greek, more Western context would be like Orion the Hunter. You know, on this side, we have stories of that wintertime constellation, and that's actually the Winter Maker. You know, when the Winter Maker is in the sky, it's the season of winter, and that's the time to start sharing these stories. Also, that installation is done using various types of mediums, and it's important to me to explore those mediums as well, because, you know, having a background as a painter, so either oil, aerosol, or acrylic onto canvas or onto a surface, you know, one of my focuses, and again, I'm only speaking for myself here, is to push not only the woodland style of art, Ojibwe art, and Ojibwe pictography into new mediums so they can occupy new spaces. You know, that's why you see the mixture of cut wood and acrylics that can diffuse light. It's a way, you know, to share these stories with these beautiful new mediums that are available to us now. I could have, or we could have easily painted a mural or something like that, but like, let's explore various materials to basically convey these stories and our art styles in new ways.
And how did you select the imagery that you included in the piece, you know, right from the maple leaf center to the Thunderbird to the land and the water protector, Michu Biju?
Okay, first off with the maple leaf. The one thing about art is open to interpretation. And with simple forms, you can bring a viewer into the piece. For me, it's always about like iconography and what is universally conveyed. You know, we live in Canada, which is a colony. And the symbol for Canada is a maple leaf. If you were to see a maple leaf anywhere as a Canadian, most likely you're going to identify with it and you're going to know it. And so I wanted to pull people into that narrative of the wintertime storytelling by giving something that's universal and it's just so iconic. That maple leaf, like I said, art is open to interpretation because when I see a maple leaf, I think of the maple tree and all of the stories of the sugar maple. And if you look in like Ojibwe floral patterns, you'll see beautiful patterns of the maple leaf. And when I think of a maple leaf, my grandfather, we had a sugar bush and he used to actually make maple syrup. And so for me, it represents like home and it represents family and community and it represents that story. It was an entry point for the viewer to anchor themselves so they can come into the story and still feel like they have a place. And then when you start moving away from the maple leaf, that's when you find these protectors. And these images, like the Thunderbirds, Michu Biju, you'll find images of them all around the Great Lakes. There's multiple pictograph sites on stateside and Canadian side of these pictographs. And these pictographs are so special because we say they're like Mazanak, they're sacred imagery. And we're telling the stories and honoring the protectors of not only the water, but the land and the sky. And why is that important? Is because they're protecting us too, because we're a part of that environment. And I feel like we really need to remember that they're working tirelessly for us. And it's a beautiful thing. And if creation is rooting for me that much, then I'm going to root for myself that much. And if I'm a better person to myself, then I'm a better person to the environment, and I'm a better person to my neighbor, and I'm a better person within my community.
This new piece is at the new library branch. It's a new community hub, a place of learning, storytelling, and sharing. You've included imagery of children and adults reaching to the stars. Can you explain how this brings the piece together?
Oh, it's everything. My great grandma always told us to reach for the stars all the time. If you're a child and you have access to look at the night sky and look at the stars, your mind and imagination can just run wild. Creativity is born, dreams are born, inspiration is born. And for myself, you know, we need to basically create those spaces where children feel secure and loved and know their identity, especially within my community, the Anishinaabe people, with the history of the residential schools, Indian day schools, all of the various scoops that have happened. You anchor a child into their identity and you let them stare at the stars and dream big and hope for what they want to do, what they want to become. And those figures to me, that's a grandmother, and a grandchild reaching to the sky. And not only reaching to the sky, but she's imparting these stories. Why are these stories important? Because they're everything to us. I don't even really like to call them stories. They are our understanding of the natural world, of science, botany, of cosmology, astrology, environmental sciences, zoology. It's all there. And the way that we do it is we orally pass these stories to the next generation.
How did the collaboration go with Isaac Murdoch? Like, how did you share in the work?
Me and Isaac have known each other for a while, and it's not our first time collaborating. And when you find another artist or a community member that you can have a meaningful collaboration, it shouldn't be a struggle. Ego is put aside, and I guess the mission of what we're trying to do, not only create beautiful art, but also bring these narratives into communities that might not know them. Like I always like to say, if we're compromising, then I'm not a part of it. I'd rather have a meaningful collaboration than two people compromising.
So how did you get hooked up with the KPL, and how was it working with their team on the installation?
They did a call out, and me and Uncle Isaac, like I said, we've worked on different projects in the past, and our styles, they marry so nicely. He does a lot of like pictograph work. I do a lot of pictograph work. I'm also a woodland painter. So it's just a really great combination. And he is a gifted storyteller, and I love the stories. And we went through the application process, we went through the jury process, all of it. And we're very fortunate to receive the bid. How was it working? Like, it was great working with everybody. Like I said, if we're all collaborating in a meaningful way, the challenges aren't that challenging. And especially when you're working with creatives, each challenge is just another opportunity to be creative. The KPL team was absolutely amazing. We're so accommodating to what we needed. And the installation, it was a few days of installation to get the materials up, but it went very, very, very smoothly. It was really nice because my brother, who also is the lead of Bowaden Productions, he got some drone footage inside.
In closing, Johnston added,
The territory that we're on, the Great Lakes, the territory of the Anishinaabe, it's so beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. I've traveled all over. I've been all around the world. And anytime that I come home and I look at the Great Lakes, I am so appreciative of the place that we live. And I want people to connect with that as well through our stories, through our history, how water and the plant nation is so important, and that we shouldn't take this area for granted because it's really special and it's magical.
that was artist Niall Johnston, who, along with Isaac Murdoch, created the Wintertime Stories wall sculpture, which has been installed at the KPL's new Southwest Branch. Now we turn to Eric Rumble, the coordinator of Arts and Creative Industries at the City of Kitchener, who bottom-lined the process which selected Wintertime Stories for installation. Here is the interview. Why did the city select Wintertime Stories for the new KPL branch, and how does it fit within the city's vision for public art?
We had a two-stage jury process that I administered that ended up selecting that particular piece of artwork. How the city's process works is we have a 1% for public art policy that applies when the city is funding a new public facility or space. And so 1% of the site development and construction budget for the new KPL Southwest branch was earmarked as part of their process of developing the facility for public art. So I began working with the KPL Southwest team that was developing the facility at least a couple of years ago now. And they had identified some priorities that they were trying to realize within the facility itself. We ran an open call for about 3 months, which brought in a few dozen proposals from across the country. And then we go through a process with a jury that I composed with representatives of the community that's going to use the library, with representatives of the facility project, and folks that can speak to their experience in the local public art sector. And we basically facilitated a gradual discussion with those folks, which began with them rating all of the ideas that were proposed for the project. We narrowed down to a group of three possibilities. We go back to those artists and we ask them to develop their proposal a little bit further. The artists present to the jury and the jury deliberates until we reach a consensus around the best option to move forward with. In the case of this process, there were three really, really strong options that had sort of risen to the surface through the process over the course of a few months. There was some really, really healthy discussion and debate over the merits, and ultimately Wintertime Stories was a good fit for a number of reasons. Not only its aesthetics and its kind of interesting translation of a woodland style of art into different materials, but also there was alignment there around how the library wanted to bring the voices and presence of land rights holders into the space. They were doing a ton of consultation with Six Nations and Mississaugas of the Credit on the development of the design for the facility in general. So there was really nice alignment in having a really strong proposal from a pair of Anishinaabeg artists sort of rising to the top. And then also, you know, there's obviously like a really obvious connection here in terms of storytelling as a thread that fits nicely within a library.
This is a striking piece from two Indigenous creators. Do you feel this project has successfully built upon the city's commitment to recognizing Indigenous cultures and reconciliation?
I can speak to how it fits within the public art collection that our team stewards. To the best of our knowledge, there is no Indigenous representation in the city's public art collection up until now. And certainly our team sees a lot of opportunities in trying to invite and represent different voices that are represented in the community through that collection. I think in the case of the library in particular, because of the proximity of the physical space to like a late woodland period longhouse community that was excavated just not far away from the site, there was a real interest in trying to involve Indigenous voices in a piece of visual engagement like this on site and recognize that presence and find a way for it to continue into the future use of the site. It certainly adds voices to the city's public art collection that weren't clearly represented before. And stylistically, I think it adds an element because it's rooted in those cultures that makes it really, really distinct and really exciting as an addition to the collection.
How has the feedback been, or has there been much? Like, has it reflected the intention of the piece?
I've only had a little bit of anecdotal feedback before. The library is kind of soft opened at this point, so I've just kind of heard a few things. I know the KPL staff have had some local Indigenous folks in there to do some ceremony and some other activities, and in particular, I had a message passed along to me that one of the folks leading one of those activities just felt really, really seen and really proud to be able to do what they were doing in that space with that artwork as a complement to it. And internally at the city, I know some of the counselors and other folks on our broader team have expressed a lot of appreciation for it too.
What do you personally find most intriguing or interesting about the completed work?
I was really fortunate enough actually to spend a little bit of time with Niall during the installation. And I got a little bit more detail from him about some of their iconography that's represented in the piece. The piece is, you know, it's about a bit more than 50 feet long and a bit more than 6 or 7 feet tall, running along a large bulkhead in the main programming space of the library. And there's plants, animals, human figures represented in the piece. But some of the creatures that are represented are from Anishinaabeg cultures and they're things that I'm less familiar with. And for me, it was really intriguing just to learn a bit about what some of those creatures represent from Niall directly. And I also really enjoyed just being able to witness an artist like Niall who is not typically creating on that scale, get to witness his first opportunity to put eyeballs on this creation that he contributed to was really, really exciting also.
And we will give the last word to Niall Johnston.
I'm proud of it. It looks good.
You were listening to an interview with Eric Rumble, the coordinator of arts and creative industries at the City of Kitchener. And before that, we heard from artist Niall Johnston, who, along with Isaac Murdoch, created the 15-meter-long wall sculpture at Kitchener's new Southwest Library branch. This is Dan Keller for CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news and listen to all the LJI content at frequencynews.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.